Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove. D-U-Z, Dove. The new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Betcha that's Dan, the Duzz mailman.
Yep, in person. And just loaded down with Duzz letters again, Mr. Collier.
Boy, seems every day is Duzz day for most folks.
You bet. Take this letter from Washington, D.C.
What's that?
Mrs. Bertha Sykes says Duzz is swell for her laundry, so when her little niece spilled ink on the living room rug, Mrs. Sykes does the rug. And what do you think?
No ink.
Say, get this one from Wyman Dam, Maine, from Mr. William Baker. He does the goat.
A goat?
Yep. I can hear that goat now. Duzz.
Oh, dozing a goat. Brother, that bleats all.
Oh.
And folks, listen to this swell letter from Phoenix, Arizona. Mrs. Raymond Hill writes, "You sounded so convincing about Duzz, I finally tried it. Well, I got the surprise of my life. Duzz turned everything in my washout sparkling clean, the white things beautifully white. It's no malarkey when I say Duzz beats any wash day soap I ever tried." Well, Mrs. Hill, it's no malarkey when I say no soap gets towels whiter or work clothes clean easier than Duzz does. Yet this new kind of soap means extra safety for your colored rayon undies. Why, Duzz does everything in your wash. It's the soap that's best. Didn't actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps prove it? You betcha. Only Duzz gives you this outstanding combination. Unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten suds for cleaning work clothes, and greater safety for colors. So be a lady who does best.
Listen to Dan, the Duzz mailman. Does everything.
And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Ethel Lanier is to testify. Because the evidence for both prosecution and defense was rejected on the score of prejudice, Grant Frazier proposed that a third and impartial witness be called to testify for both sides. Jim Brent, charged with a breach of medical ethics, unwittingly accepted the proposal. Unwittingly because Ethel Lanier has already been approached by the chief of staff. Jim, who knows nothing of the arrangements made by Frazier and Ethel Lanier, sits back confidently and listens to Mr. Leo Clark, chairman of the Board of Trustees, as he begins to question the witness.
You're a surgical nurse. Am I right, Miss Lanier?
Yes, sir.
I see. You were on duty during the morning in which the incident between Dr. Frazier and Dr. Brent occurred?
I was.
Will you tell us what happened that morning?
I was talking with the anesthetist while we were waiting for Dr. Frazier to come upstairs with his patient. He mentioned something about Dr. Frazier being late in bringing up his patient, and therefore the appendix condition couldn't be terribly acute.
Mr. Chairman,
I'm sorry, Dr. Frazier, but since this witness was brought in to give testimony for both parties, I'm afraid I'll have to ask you not to interrupt her with your questions.
But this...
You'll have an opportunity to do that when she's finished. Go on, Miss Lanier, will you?
While we were waiting, a nurse came in and told us to prepare for an emergency case immediately. I told her that the theater had been reserved for Dr. Frazier, but she said it was extremely important to begin Dr. Brent's operation.
And what did you do?
I got ready for Dr. Brent's patient. The patient was wheeled in, and as soon as he was finished scrubbing, Dr. Brent came into the operating room.
What was his attitude?
Toward whom?
To you, toward the others?
It was perfectly normal and natural. He was very calm, rather quiet, somewhat in a hurry, but that was understandable. He seemed just like he's always seemed during an operation. I might say he's one of the most collected operators I've ever worked under. Certainly one of the most courteous and considerate.
I want you to think back, Miss Lanier. He wasn't excited?
Not in the least.
He wasn't upset?
No, sir.
He didn't show any signs of being agitated or...
When Dr. Brent walked into the operating room, His emotions appeared to be under perfect control. In fact, I can honestly say that I've never seen him begin an operation under more favorable circumstances.
Was his manner in any way unusual when the operation got underway, Miss Lanier?
No, sir. He was perfectly all right. Until Dr. Frazier came to talk with him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what reaction did he have when Dr. Frazier came in?
Well, first, Dr. Frazier asked him how soon he'd be finished operating. For some reason, this seemed to rile Dr. Brent, but he continued working. Then Dr. Frazier reminded him that he had a patient ready for the table. Dr. Brent ignored him.
What was Dr. Frazier's attitude at this time?
Dr. Frazier, throughout the entire time he was in the operating theater, conducted himself extremely well. He didn't raise his voice, he didn't imply anything, he didn't threaten. He merely stood there waiting for Dr. Brent to tell him how soon the operating theater would be available.
You say that Dr. Frazier behaved himself extremely well.
Yes, sir.
Did Dr. Brent behave in a similar manner? Well, Miss Lanier?
If it isn't necessary, I'd rather not say so.
But it is necessary, Miss Lanier. We're here to get to the bottom of this. Go on.
Dr. Brent's attitude was most surprising to me. He became surly and mumbled under his breath. When Dr. Frazier asked him a question, he would either refuse to answer or he would tell Dr. Frazier to get out. Well, very often the language he used was not particularly suited to an operating room.
Mr. Clark.
You'll be good enough to sit down again, Dr. Brent. I said there'd be no questions until later.
But what she's saying is false, sir, every word of it.
We'll judge that, Dr. Brent. Not you.
But Mr. Clark.
Sit down, please.
Yes.
Thank you. Continue, Miss Lanier.
There isn't much more to say, sir. By this time, Dr. Brent, for some reason I still haven't been able to fathom, was in a terrible state of temper. He snapped something at Dr. Frazier and then told the intern to begin a new incision. Then...
Go on.
Dr. Brent threw the scalpel I had just handed him onto the floor. He turned about and walked over to Dr. Frazier. Suddenly, Dr. Brent hit him. That was all. He turned around and came back to the table. Dr. Frazier arose and left the room without a word.
Miss Lanier, since you were standing right beside Dr. Brent, perhaps you had an opportunity to observe. Shortly before he was hit, did Dr. Frazier pull or tug at Dr. Brent's arm or at the hand that was holding the scalpel?
No, sir. It would have been impossible. At the time it happened, Dr. Frazier was standing at least 3 or 4 feet from him.
I see. Well, that's all I have to ask you. Dr. Frazier?
No questions, thank you, Mr. Clark.
Dr. Brent?
Miss Lanier, I just want to ask you one question. Can you sit here and look at me and say that the story you've just told is true?
Yes, Dr. Brent. It's true.
I have no more questions.
Thank you, Miss Lanier. You may leave now. As I see it, gentlemen, there's very little left to do. Dr. Frazier, would you care to say anything in conclusion?
Gentlemen, there remains very little for me to say. I believe what I have charged Miss Lanier has brought as fact in testimony. When this meeting began, I told you that I asked it to be called not out of spite, not out of maliciousness, not out of personal animosity toward Dr. Brent. I told you I felt that the high ethical standards which should govern the medical profession should and must be followed to the letter. At this moment, I consider James Brent an excellent surgeon, and I shall continue to do so. But my feelings and opinions of Dr. Brent should not influence your decision. They have never and will never influence mine.
Dr. Brent?
If I may, sir. I can't begin to describe for you, gentlemen, the feeling I have at this moment. It isn't because I'm on trial here, and let's be honest with ourselves and call it a trial. What shocks me and hurts me is the last part of the testimony given by Miss Lanier. I know that it isn't going to do any good to tell you it was false. It was. but my words may have the strength to carry that fact to you. Nor am I going to deny that I struck Dr. Frazier. I did. And if I were ever placed under similar circumstances, I would feel forced to do it again. All of you must realize that no surgeon with a patient on the table would, for no reason at all, turn away from that patient and, like a small angry boy, throw punches at another man. That I struck Dr. Frazier, I don't deny. But why? Why did I do it? There has been much mention during the 3 or 4 hours this meeting has lasted of the patient upon which Dr. Frazier was scheduled to operate. May I ask one question? Dr. Frazier, what happened to that patient? Did you operate? Did that patient die? Be good enough to answer me, Dr. Frazier.
No, she didn't die.
No, she certainly did not die. What she did do was to get up, put her clothes on, and leave the hospital. And to my knowledge, she has not been operated upon to this day. Now, gentlemen, I had an accident case under my knife. A man whose body had been crushed so badly that I didn't expect him to live through the operation. Should I have taken that man off the table so that Frazier could have operated upon a chronic appendectomy? Should I have sacrificed the life of a charity patient for the comfort of a wealthy private patient? Had any of you had a man tugging at your elbow, whispering in your ear to hurry up the most delicate work of the profession, so that he might satisfy a society patient, would you have thought of ethics or humanity? Would you have done everything in your power to stop him, or would you have given way to professional courtesy and thrown away a life? That, if you'll forgive me, gentlemen, is the question before you.
Thank you, Dr. Brent. Now, if you and Dr. Frazier will be good enough to leave the room, we will remain here to reach a decision.
Jim Brent rises from his chair and starts out of the room. Now there is nothing to do but wait. You know, sometimes the answer to a difficult problem is right at our fingertips. That's what Mrs. Lindsay discovered. You see, she needed a soap for dishes one day, and she remembered that box of Dove in her laundry. So she said,
I heard Dove is best. I know it does everything in my wash. Wonder what it does in the dishpan.
And that's when Mrs. Lindsay discovered Dove does everything for dishes, too. She found Dove makes suds that stand up till the last dish is done. In fact, this new kind of soap burst into suds the instant water touched it. Mrs. Lindsay was truly surprised.
Well, what do you know? The way those suds last, I won't have to keep adding more soap.
Then, when she tackled those frying pans, she noticed Dove really gives fast action on grease.
Say, look at Dove whiz through that grease. There's no hard scouring.
And when the dishes were dozed, Mrs. Lindsay looked at her hands.
My Dove leaves my hands nice and soft.
Sure, Dove is kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap. I tell you, when you does your dishes, you find Dove does best. In the dishpan, too, does everything. Be sure to listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does. The soap that does everything in your wash. More than ever, our government needs used fat. More than ever, you need red points. Save used fat. Get 2 points per pound.